Amen. If you're joining us online, we want to welcome you in. If you're watching at one of our campuses, we're so grateful you're here with us. We're going to get into the Word. My name is Mike, and I'm the associate pastor here. And I'm really excited to be a part of this series, this Wisdom BC series. I was thinking just a few moments ago, what does this young guy, you may be thinking, what does this young guy have to teach us about wisdom? Probably not much, but here's what we're going to do. I got some tips for you. We're going to dive into the Bible, and guess what? The Bible has a lot to teach all of us about wisdom. Amen. So we're going to do that. Last week, Shane rooted us in the Scripture, and he said that when we look at the beginning of Proverbs, we need to understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And whenever we start to understand that, and whenever we start to grab on to godly wisdom, it can sort of grab on to us. And the flow of God, the wisdom of God, the life of God can begin to flow into our lives. Shane also said that Proverbs helps us dance to the rhythm of godliness. It helps us dance to the rhythm of godliness. I thought that was mine. I did that earlier. And dancing, there is both a technical side and there is also an art to it. Now, I'm definitely not a dancing expert, as you'll find out, but I'm not going to dance for you, but I'm going to tell a story, okay? But when I see someone dance well, to me it seems like an artist that brush sweeps across a canvas. Dancing can be art in motion. My wife and I, Valerie, this is back in 2007, this was our wedding night. This is on the dance floor in Rantoul, Illinois at the Linden is where the wedding hall was. Well, leading up to this day, my wife did not ask much of me for our wedding day. In terms of wedding planning, she could see very quickly that I was not going to be useful, okay? She would ask, I remember something very early about colors happened, and like she's asking me about colors, and you know you're talking to someone and nothing is registering? I know how she was talking to me, and that nothing was registering about what color we should have for something at the wedding. The one thing she did ask from me, is to take ballroom dancing classes with the intention that our first dance, we would have a learned dance that we had worked on. Now, I cannot really dance, and that's not me being modest. I can't dance. I really don't want to dance in front of people. When I go to weddings, I don't want to do anything like that. But I tell you what, with me helping about zilch on the wedding planning, and I thought, okay, this is something that I can do with her. So we did like 8 weeks of classes. I think we were there once or twice a week for those 8 weeks. Let me just tell you one thing that happened. One of the times we were supposed to spin our partner around, and I spun Valerie so hard, she spun around like another 3 times, and she fell on the floor in front of 60 people, okay? Yeah, embarrassing for her. Sorry about that, honey. We also took a, I don't know if I've ever apologized. Right now is a great time. Okay. We also took a private lesson. So we were ready. And on our wedding day, we had a simple dance. It went fine. It went really well. And I was actually really proud of myself, even though it was a simple dance. Then after that, there was the father-daughter dance. And my wife's father back then owned a tree trimming company, and he's a big muscular man. And so basically what he did, and he can't dance at all, he basically picked Valerie off the ground and just kind of like swung her around the dance floor, right? And I was just like, oh gosh, how embarrassing. Throughout the evening, people came up to Valerie after all these dances and said, we could tell that you had dance lessons, are we right? And they were like, yeah, or Valerie said, yes, of course we did. And then the people would reply, well, we could tell because you and your dad put a lot of work into the dance. That is absolutely true. I was a little astonished and a bit mad. Then I realized something. I was like I was probably like a 1 out of 10 of a dancer. So I ended up being like a 4 out of a 10. And my new wife was happy. No, I didn't embarrass myself. I didn't embarrass her. I was pretty much just unnoticed. And you know what? Sometimes that is a win. Now, no matter where we are at in this godly wisdom dance, we can all improve. We can talk about godly wisdom and say for some of us, it may be a little bit more natural to say, God, I want you to pour your wisdom into my life and I want to live with you. But there may be some of us who are a bit more resistant to it. And it's important that we understand this. We need to understand that godly wisdom, wisdom that comes from God, has immense value. Wisdom that God gives us has immense value. Now, there's an ongoing idea throughout the book of Proverbs that in the midst of looking at godly wisdom, it's easy to think that it's not valuable. In fact, that's why in Proverbs 16, verse 16, the writer of the proverb says that wisdom is actually better than gold. The idea here is that you may not be able to see it, you may not be able to feel it, but if we allow God's wisdom to come into our life, it's more valuable than gold, than money. Now, I think that one of the reasons it's hard to see this value of godly wisdom is because it has an invisible quality to it. Wisdom has an invisible quality to it. It's kind of like the air that we breathe. We can't see the air we breathe, but it gives life to us daily. It's the same thing with godly wisdom. That's why the beginning of that scripture that was read, you can't quite see it, but if you hold to it, it will be like life. It will be like a crown, or it will be like a necklace. You can't see this godly wisdom, but if we bring it in, God will eventually show it to others. Here's another reason why it's kind of difficult to understand the value of godly wisdom. You have to listen to acquire this wisdom. Now, listening is not a posture that we normally default to. We usually want to talk more often than we listen. But I've also known people who don't like to talk a lot, and they'll kind of be quiet, but they still don't like to listen. Like in their mind, you know, they'll kind of go to another place. In fact, I think as a society, we've become such bad listeners, that's why there's more and more of a profession for listening. That's professional counselors. In fact, I've talked to professional counselors, and they've said that with many of their cases, the people who come into their office just need someone to listen to them. Here's another reason why wisdom is kind of difficult to value. Wisdom, a lot of times, makes us change direction. Wisdom that comes from the Lord makes us change direction. Have you ever put a plan together and started it and started rolling with it, and then maybe someone points out to you with that plan like, hey, that's not a great idea. Or hey, have you thought about this? Or have you thought about changing that? And maybe your response is something like, no, I haven't thought about that, but I don't want to change. I don't want to stop it. I got something going here. Have you ever been in that spot before? Wisdom can sometimes make us stop the momentum, the way that we're going, and make us change direction. Changing direction is not always easy. Now, a final reason godly wisdom can be hard to value is this. Godly wisdom has a lot to do with patience. Now, many times wisdom requires us to be patient over a long period of time. That's why saying a young guy sharing about wisdom isn't always the best fit. But also just holding on through trials and being patient through trials, you can always gain godly wisdom. But some wisdom does take years and years to acquire. Now that brings us to our definition of wisdom in this series. Here's what it is. Wisdom is a supernatural ability to apply knowledge and experience in a helpful way. It's a supernatural ability to apply knowledge and experience in a helpful way. Now, getting experience and getting knowledge, it takes time and it takes effort and it takes patience, and it requires us to stay on a path until the knowledge and experience comes together. I heard a preacher one time say about people who don't stay kind of true, don't stay with it, is that at the end, when you don't stay with it, you miss the godly lesson that God wants to bring to you at the end of a trial. And he said that some people, they always kind of keep jumping off. They always jump off and they miss the blessing of wisdom that God wants to give them. The reason why patience is so important is because when we stick with it with the Lord, when we stay with him through the trial, at the end, we get a blessing of wisdom. But it's really hard and we have to hang on. Godly wisdom takes patience. When we put this knowledge, when we put this experience together, and we have the Holy Spirit's supernatural ability all in this, I think we get what Reverend Shane would call a wisdom frappe. And if we choose to take that wisdom frappe in, it will add value to our life. Now, what I want to focus in on tonight is a little bit different wisdom than you might think. Because I think there's times in our life where we come to these crucial moments and we want the Lord to give us this incredible wisdom so we know exactly what to do. But I don't think that's the only wisdom God wants to give you and me. And the scripture is going to share with us about that in a few minutes. So what I'm going to focus in on tonight is something I'm terming prevent wisdom. Not prevent wisdom, prevent wisdom. Now, I'm a football fan. And I had a really rough night on Sunday night, okay? My beloved Chicago Bears, Bear Down Chicago Bears, they lost in the playoffs. And I had a lot of pain. I was better. Whenever they lost in the Super Bowl in 2007, I didn't talk to anyone for like a week after that. And that's a pretty true story. And I worked in a public place, so that was kind of difficult. I did much better on Sunday night. It only took me a couple minutes. But when the fourth quarter was going on in the game, I was actually here at church, but I was recording it over at the house. And so what I did was I didn't know what the score was. I went over to the house, and I started watching the fourth quarter. Now, the game was over, okay? My wife was in the room, and she heard me getting excited, and I was cheering, and I was booing at this and everything, and she said, I can't stand it. I need to look. So she looks at the score when I'm watching. Now, she doesn't tell me, but she does say something like this. And I swear it was a happy tone. She said, okay. Now, when she said that, you know what I mean? So in my mind, I'm like, why is she looking at the score? But then I'm also thinking, we must have won. So I kind of like, okay, everything's going to be okay, right? Then, if you know what happened at the game, the Bears lost at like the very last second. So I was not happy, and I went and walked around the house for 2 minutes, and I kept thinking, why did she say that in such a happy tone? And the only conclusion, we haven't talked about this. This is how I get this stuff out. We haven't talked. The only conclusion that I can come to is that she's happy football's over. That's the only conclusion that I can come to. I'm telling you. Now, well, you know how I would have liked that game to end? Not only the Bears winning, I would have liked for them to be up by like 4 or 5 touchdowns. Whenever a team is up by that much, there's something called a prevent defense that they will begin to play. I'll be very quick with this for you who don't like football, okay? But I need to set it up. A prevent defense is a defensive alignment in football that seeks to prevent the opposing offense from completing long passes or scoring a touchdown. The point of that is so the clock runs out. So here's what I'm saying. All it means is defensively, the football team is trying to keep the other team from scoring in the offense. They'll give the other team on offense little dink and dunk passes because why? They're up so big. They just want the other team to go ahead and move the ball a little bit and and let the clock run out. Did you know that there are times, here we go, where we are on a winning path, people of God, and all we need is enough wisdom to keep us from losing the game. Church, did you know that not all the wisdom God needs to give us is this incredible wisdom that just blows us away? Sometimes we are on a winning path. Sometimes you are up by 5 touchdowns and you just need the clock to run out. And so what God says is that I don't need to give you this totally long download of wisdom. I just need you to make a defensive adjustment. Prevent wisdom is wisdom that keeps us from losing because we are already on a winning path. In my short 35 years on this planet, I noticed there are times that there are people who are winning. They're winning, but they run into a problem and they look at the problem too hard and cause it to be a bit bigger problem. They overreact. They were on the winning path, but because they overreacted, it set them on a path to lose. Wisdom isn't always about making an incredible, crucial, correct decision or making this crucial play down the stretch. Sometimes wisdom is just keeping the ball out of the end zone. Yeah. It is about learning how to operate correctly in a winning situation. Now, let me illustrate this in a different way. Let me take you back to April 1985. I was a toddler. Okay. Here we go. Coca-Cola had been losing market share to diet soft drinks and non-cola beverages to this point for years in 1985. So Coke is trying to figure out how to make their product better. What do? They have a blind taste test, and they find out in their blind taste test that consumers prefer the sweeter taste of Pepsi. That's right. Now, the younger people here are like, oh, this is good information. Older people are like, yeah, we know, we lived it. But you know all about it. I know. That's how this works. So what does Coke do? New Coke. They overcorrect, right? They totally replace their number one product, Coke, with New Coke, and it goes terribly awry. It goes terrible, right? I never had it. It lasted for a while, but there was public outrage and even hostile responses. New Coke was a major failure. So what did Coke do right away? Within 3 months, they realized that they had overcorrected. And what did they do within 3 months? They reintroduced Coca-Cola, and they call it Coca-Cola Classic. And they keep New Coke around for a while, but it eventually goes away. But what happened is it results in a significant gain in sales. It's the same product they already had. New Coke would have bankrupted Coke. They didn't need to get rid of it. They just needed to change their strategy. Going deeper, there are times when God's wisdom is just about slight modifications. We don't have to reinvent our entire lives. There may have been a moment in your life where God had you do something incredibly different, where his wisdom came to you and it didn't make sense to anyone else, but you knew it was the Lord and he was faithful to you and something was absolutely awesome in your life. But there are other times when God just needs to give you a slight modification. The path that you are on is a winning path. You just need the adjustments to the game plan. Let me ask you a couple questions to bring this in and maybe talk to another group of you. Have you prayed hard for wisdom and you feel like you're not getting any? Or have you in the past? Have you been really laboring over a decision and you're praying that God just gives you all this wisdom and nothing seems to be happening? Maybe you're assuming God hasn't answered your prayers, but what if that's not the case? What if you're simply looking for the wrong kind of wisdom? Maybe you're expecting God to give you so much wisdom that you'd be like Solomon, but what if all the wisdom you need is to keep you walking on the winning path? What if God is looking at your situation, sees everything's going to work out fine, you're going to win? Do you still need wisdom? Of course you do. Do you still need God? Of course. This isn't a message about how we don't need God. We need God as much as ever, but maybe we just need a little bit of wisdom because we're already on the right path. Maybe you need prevent wisdom. Now, let me give you a biblical example of where prevent wisdom was absolutely needed, but prevent wisdom was not taken. The person of Joseph. Joseph was a young man who had absolutely everything going for him in the Old Testament. He had a family. His father had a great business. He had a bright future. In fact, his future was so bright that God gave him dreams. Like, he literally had supernatural dreams. And in those dreams, God told him how bright his future was going to be. Now, a key component, as many of you know, of these dreams was that Joseph's family, and Joseph was almost the youngest, Joseph's family would one day be subservient to Joseph. God spoke to Joseph through a dream so Joseph would know God had great things for him and that Joseph would know one day God was going to lift him up. Joseph was in position to win, folks. Joseph, he had the family going for him. He had some incredible things. God was speaking into his life. He was up big. He had insider information, but what does Joseph do? Well, Joseph lacks wisdom. All he had to do was what? Be quiet. All he had to do was be quiet and watch what God was going to do. But instead, he tells his dream to the people he should not have told his dream to. The group of people of everyone in the world, he told it to them. His family thought he was arrogant. They thought he was immature. They thought he needed life experience. They were all right. But so was Joseph. What happens next? Joseph's dreams make his brother furious, right? They end up secretly selling him into slavery. They make their father believe that he was killed by a wild animal. But all Joseph needed was a little bit of this prevent wisdom. The prevent wisdom that says, Joseph, just shut your mouth and watch God bring your dreams to reality. Friends, prevent wisdom. Prevent wisdom has immense value to you and to me. And I say all this to set up our scripture this evening. As we enter into the text, we have an image here in Proverbs now. This didn't happen with where Shane was the first few verses last week. But when we get into this next part of the text, there's something coming. There's an image of a father and a mother trying to give instruction to their child who is now getting on the verge of adulthood. They're entering to a time where the decisions that they make will follow them. This young person is getting into a time where mommy and daddy cannot protect them anymore. And so this young person is not quite there, but the father and mother are talking to them. And the father and mother are trying to remind their son of the values that they have instilled in him, the behaviors and instructions that they've been teaching their son since he was a boy. Let's go to verse 8. My child, listen, when your father corrects you, listen, keyword. Listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect, keyword, your mother's instructions. What you learn from them will crown you with grace, be a chain of honor around your neck. Here's what we need to know about these parental figures that are here in Proverbs. They're helping their son remember what they poured into him, but we also know that this is telling us that they were God-fearing Jews, that they had obeyed the law of Moses and what was given to them in Deuteronomy. Here's what they were doing. Here's what comes from Deuteronomy. It says in Deuteronomy, after the Ten Commandments are given, this is what was supposed to be instilled, the people were supposed to instill in their children. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Here's the idea, is that this, in an Old Testament context, these scriptures are supposed to be used more than just a little bit. They were supposed to be a part of the very fabric of their children's life and of their children's upbringing. What we're understanding here through this scripture is that these parents were faithful. These parents were faithful. I'm sure they messed up. They didn't do things perfectly, but they were faithful to what God has called them to do. Did you know, church, that the one thing God is asking from you is to be faithful? Really, what God asks from us, whatever season we're in, is that we would be faithful to him. You know, Shane said on Sunday that if we sow good seed, we can expect good results. So we can be hopeful for what God's going to do in 2019. These parents were faithful. And so they believed, because they were faithful, that their son was going to be on a good path, but the son had to choose that path. They've been faithful to the commands of Moses. The son is in a good place. The child is in position to win the game if the child holds to what the parents have taught them. That sets up what the parents have done in the child's life. But now let's look a little bit at the emotion in the text. The emotion that's coming from this text is that the parents are talking to the child in both a serious and a loving way. Okay? It's serious, but it's very much has a lot of love with it. I wonder if you are a parent, or if your parent ever said anything to you like this: "The reason why we have two ears and one mouth is that we may listen more and talk less." Now, yeah, the reason, what the parents are trying to do is get their son's attention here and say, "We really need you to understand. I'm not yelling at you. I'm not saying you're about to make a bunch of mistakes with your life. What I'm telling you is that you have been set up on the winning path. You need to listen to me for a second, child. You need to get the Fortnite out of your head. You need to get the floss out of your head and the Orange Justice and Snapchat. I need your attention for just a second. I need to remind you of something." Now, when we look at that, that's what's happening in the text. We should put ourselves in the place of being God's child. Do you ever think there's a time that God is telling you to slow down and listen? Is there a time maybe where God is telling you to put the calendar aside for a second, to put the appointments for aside, to put the phone down, to put your project down for a moment? You know, God does that with us from time to time. But just like the parents are talking to the child, we need to know that God is doing that in a loving way. There are times when the Lord does get serious with us. But when he gets serious with us, it's not because he thinks there's anything wrong with us, or condemning or anything like that. He gets serious with us for a little bit so we pay attention to what he's saying. That's important to know, because if we don't know that, sometimes we try to fight God when there's no need to fight him at all. God is for us, not against us. God is for us, not against us. So whenever God does that with us, we just need him to pour the wisdom in our lives. Now, this child in the book of Proverbs is set up to have a great journey, but what's going on as we get into this scripture, if you read it, there are some pitfalls that he must avoid. Every once in a while, every few months, I go out to and hike at a place around Millstadt. Millstadt, I know you're watching. We love you. I go out and hike at a place around Millstadt. I don't know what it's called. People say, "What's it called?" I don't know. I just found it one time. I think someone put it on Facebook, and I go out there. I just know where it's at. But there are sinkholes out there, okay? And these sinkholes, they obviously could be very dangerous, but they are away from the trail, so you don't normally run into them. But what they do out there is they get a metal pole and they put it in the ground and they put a couple signs here and there, and the signs explain sinkholes, but they're also explaining stay away because there is danger. Now, anyone who wants to stay on the path will never get anywhere near those sinkholes. But those signs are there for people who get off the path. If you just go out for a nice hike and you follow the regular path, you're going to be just fine. But they have to put the signs there because they know that some people are going to get off the path. What's going on with this child and these parents is that they're trying to put warning signs to stay on the path. For you and I, whenever God may be trying to get serious with us and pour some wisdom in our life, it doesn't mean that God thinks we're about to make a bunch of mistakes, but could it be that God is just putting down some signs in some areas to say, "I just need you to avoid this. I just need you to avoid that." I believe sometimes God does that with us. There are times in our lives that God is trying to give us prevent wisdom before we walk through something new. Now, let me just talk about this abstractly, and then I'll get it to application here. There may be some of you now who are about to go through something where you need the wisdom to help you operate and navigate through it successfully. You maybe feel like God is trying to slow you down and say, listen, I'm trying to get your attention to pour some wisdom into your life. Now, sometimes we don't know those changes are coming, but the Holy Spirit starts to ping us, tap on our shoulder, tug on our heart, whatever your language is, in order to get our attention that we would adhere to his wisdom. And here's one of the signs where God may be doing that to you or me. It's when everything seems gray. When everything seems gray. You know, when you drive outside and it's the winter right now, or spring, in this early spring, and it's raining and everything just kind of seems gray. There are times when we walk through life when everything seems gray. Even the things that we have passion for, even the things that we normally have a lot of energy towards, they're not giving us that passion or energy anymore. Everything feels gray. When that happens, it could be an opportunity that God is trying to prepare you for something new. It's not that you'll never go back to your hobbies. It's not that you'll never go back to what you enjoy, but instead that God is trying to get you ready for something new. So let me now bring it to the practical. Here are three ways that we can start to receive this prevent wisdom if you think that God is trying to get you ready to, and actually the three steps to receive prevent wisdom. Here's number one, survey what's ahead. Do you see anything in your future that you need to get ready for? Now, like I said, this could be practical. This could be as easy as something, getting your house ready for something. This could be getting your finances in order. This could be preparing your resume or helping your children transition from grade school to middle school, from middle school to high school or college. You know, the Holy Spirit does simple stuff like that with godly wisdom. He will come and try to prepare us. Let me give you a tip on how you pray through that. This is how you would pray to God about it. You would ask God, God, help me to see what I need to prepare for the future. It's really simple. We don't have the sight to see beyond this time right now. But with God, if we ask him to give us the sight, he will. Here's the second step. We need to read and research. This is when we start to get a knowledge base. Whatever it is you think God is preparing you for, after you prayed and you feel like God is starting to head you in his direction to get ready, then you begin to read and research. This is pulling up videos online. This is reading books. This is finding blogs. This is talking with people. But you have to do that type of thing. Why? It's because whenever it's time to walk in that prevent wisdom, you have to give the Holy Spirit something to work with within you. Did you know the Holy Spirit can only work within you with what you've poured into yourself? So whenever you read and research, whenever you start to allow other people to come in, whenever you start to allow that wisdom to come in, God is actually getting you ready for when the time comes that you'll be able to have the wisdom that you need. Here's another tip that I hear when some people get to this step about kind of reading and researching and so forth. They a lot of times say, what do I research? Who do I talk to? Because especially if you just are thinking about online, there's so many things that you can read. There's so many videos that you can watch. Here's what I say. Whatever starts connecting with you, do more of that. Whatever you feel like is getting you ready and preparing you, do more of that. If something is really boring and it's getting more gray, I would move it to the side. Because could it be that it's connecting you with you because the Holy Spirit's helping it connect with you? If it's something else, push it to the side. Okay, here's the third step. What I'm calling wait on the wisdom download. Now, I used to be really good at keeping all my passwords. Like passwords for everything, I used to be really great at that. And something's happened over the last couple years where I'm getting really, really bad at it. I've lost track, okay? And and you know, and yet I have passwords, more passwords than ever before. Well, I realized that I needed to keep track of them. Why? Because first of all, it's just a pain when you can't get into wherever you need to get into, right? But also, I don't want to write down a password somewhere and just leave it somewhere, you know, and give access to someone. So what did I do? When I saw that, I surveyed my future. It could be a bad future if I don't put my passwords together. I went online and I read and I did research about what would be the best way to keep my passwords. And I found an app, and I found an app that was free, which is absolutely awesome. I love that. And then what did I have to do? I had to wait for it to get downloaded on my phone. Now, whenever we have to wait for an app to get downloaded on your phone, you don't know if it's going to work or not. You keep, you know, that little bar there where you're waiting. Well, people of God, here's what I'm telling you with these steps. Whenever you sense God is trying to speak some wisdom into you and you're praying that he will show you what's coming ahead, whenever you start to research about maybe what God is trying to pour into you and get you ready for, the rest is just waiting on the download. When we talked about wisdom, there is a supernatural element that comes with it. Once you just do it out in faith, you got to believe that when the time comes, when you're walking into that new thing, into that next thing, God has put up the road signs or the signs of avoid the sinkholes, whatever you want to call them, that you are ready to walk in the destiny and ready to win the game. You're ready to win the game. Let's go to verses 17 and 18. And start to finish this up. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush. So the parents say something like this to the child. They say, you know what, child? You're going to run into a group of people that tell you that everything your mother and I taught you is wrong. They're going to tell you that there's another way to get rewards in life. But we need to tell you, child, that that's a lie. Those are sinkholes. They remind him that like a bird that sees a trap and won't go back to it, you need to avoid those things. You're in position to win. You know, going deeper. Sometimes we need to give God our hearts and we need to be opened up to the wisdom he wants to give us. Why? Because he has already shaped us to win the game. If God is going to give us just a little wisdom, that's okay. It's all the wisdom that you need. We got to remember that this God is a God who fills us with the future, with hope, and that we're already in position to win. There's no need to overcorrect. There's no need to overreact. There's no need for you to do something spectacular. There's no reason to be afraid. We just need to hold on to the wisdom he gives us. That wisdom may be just avoiding the traps that other people have set for you. That wisdom simply may be avoiding some type of enticement that someone's sending your way. Whatever the wisdom is, just be glad and receive it. For you are God's, and guess what? You're going to win the game. Amen.